Amen. All right. Today we begin, let's start with a teaching called A Study in Satan's Presence in the Christian Church Today. So we have to realize that many people will say, Satan's not in my church. You know, and you have to say, it probably is. And we're going to see historically that's always been the case. And if you can't identify him, then you're either deceived or you got a hard heart or some other reason. So first thing is, it's his name. He doesn't have a name. The Hebrew word Satan, I'm going to say Satan or Satan, it just means adversary. So one thing that's nice is our adversary doesn't have, Yahweh never gave him a proper name. So it's not Lucifer, it's not Satan, he's just the adversary. And really, what Yahweh called him more than anything else in Revelation, he's the serpent.
Slanderer.
The slanderer. About four different things. The accuser. He's got a lot of different names, and none of them are good. And so most people, like you said, are going to say, Satan is not in my church. And if you say with most, you know, most people are going to be watching this, are going to be Protestants. And if you say, well, let's look at the Catholic Church. And you're going to say, oh yeah, I can see it in the Catholic Church because they're praying to Mary. Is that anything to do with this book? No. Is that ungodly? No. Is that demonic? Yes, it is. Mary's dead. All right, so all your prayers are going void. Praying to saints. You used to be able to pray to Saint Christopher. They teach purgatory. They teach limbo. They teach the Pope is infallible. And everybody goes, oh, that's really obvious. We know that. Yeah, they're way out there. And that's true. And probably, the Pope is probably a seed of the serpent. You know, he's probably a child of the devil, the slanderer, from what we've seen so far. But now we look at the Protestant church. And so we're going to see in the Protestant church, it's the changing of the words of Yahweh. Adding to the word, taking away from the word, deleting from the word. And that is our adversary's methodology. His method, like Edgar Vollinger said, the first mention of the adversary is in Genesis 3. And what does he do? He questions the word of God. He questions the word of God. He doesn't tempt him with lust of the flesh. Did God say? And he added to the word, he deleted the word. And so his attack is on this, on these words of Yahweh. Now, Satan present exposing the church doctrines of what is now taught, Satan's methods. Okay, let's just look at questioning the word. Genesis 3, verse 1. And if we can't see this, we've been given a book, and they say there's only one book that the Creator has authored, and it's the Word of Yahweh. It's not the King James translation, it's not the NIV translation, it's not the New Living translation, it's not the New King James translation. It's the Hebrew text. And we got to be able to do it to the best of our knowledge. The most accurate English translation of the Word of Yahweh is Rotherham's Emphasized Bible. He doesn't compromise. Most translators are going to compromise to please men, which introduced and gives body to Satan's presence by omitting the word, adding the word. I thought, here's the NIV. I did one chapter, I think it was in Mark. One chapter, 64 changes are made in one chapter.
To one word.
In one chapter. 64 changes, adding the word, omitting the word, and you're like, holy man, you can't call, I just tell my wife, you can't call these translations, they are really paraphrases. And the New Living Translation is even worse than the NIV. And they're the number one selling instruments. Okay, 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any living thing of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. So he said unto the woman, can it really be that Elohim has said? So there it is. He's going to question what Yahweh says, what Elohim has said. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. He never said you couldn't touch it. Mm-hmm. Lest you die. He never said lest you die. He says,
you will die.
Yeah, dying you shall die. Mm-hmm. So this is adding the word, changing the word. Verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. And that is the exact same doctrine that's in the Protestant and Catholic Church today. Because they say when you die, you don't die. Just your body died. This is exactly what Satan is teaching. This is the doctrine of demons. That when you die, you don't die. Your spirit and soul go off to heaven or to hell or different places. So we're going to see he is so effective in this way because that's what people want to believe. But if you believe that, that's the doctrine of demons. And if your pastor teaches it, that is Satan teaching in your church. Wow. For Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be open, and you shall become like gods. Well, of course, even your body dying and your spirit and soul go, what are you like? You're like God. Now you're an eternal being, or everlasting being like the angels, and knowing good and evil. So that's one case. Now we go into pleasing the masses. All pastors in churches are there generally, primarily is to have their church grow. Secondary might be to teach the truth. If the truth makes their church decrease, they are tempted not to teach the truth. And we know that Aaron, we saw this with Aaron. And here's a prophet of Yahweh, Exodus 32.
Did you say turn to Exodus?
Yeah, 32. And here's Yahweh's prophet, and we all know this, but we say, well, my pastor would never do this. And verse 1, 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said unto him, up, make for us gods. This is the prophet of Yahweh, who saw all the miracles, all the things that happened, first-hand occurrences. You think your pastor can't be tempted? All right. Who shall go before us? And for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. And Aharon said unto them, no!
Nope.
You know, in chapter 28 or 25, they just agreed to the covenant. And Exodus 20 is, I am Yahweh thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So we're going to see today, and this is very important, that's the foundation, his first commandment. We're going to see today the church, and why so subtle, where we don't catch it, because they're going to obey seven of the Ten Commandments. You know, the church isn't, they're not adultering, they're not murdering, they're not stealing, you know, they're not coveting.
Giving to the poor.
Except for the Democrats, you know. But as a whole, that is what they're doing, and so that looks very good. My pastor's not stealing, he's not teaching theft, and so on. Satan's not there. That's true. What is not being taught? And we're going to see it's about Yahweh. There is no Yahweh, there's an incarnation. And so what you're doing is you're breaking the first, second, and third commandment. And that's all Protestant churches and all Catholic, Roman Catholic churches, and probably all Orthodox. Because he says, make up us gods, and that's what we're going to do. Because now we've got three gods. But they're only one person. You know, so I mean, this bizarreness. But that's Satan. That's Satan in the church. Two, and Aaron said unto them, break off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring unto me. And all the people of themselves broke off the rings of gold which was in their ears, and brought them unto Aharon. And he received the gold at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, and made a molten calf. And they said, these are thy gods, O Israel, who brought thee up. These, you know, Is that plural? These?
No.
Yeah, it's plural. These are thy gods, O Israel, who brought thee up. It's not, this is thy God. I never noticed that before. Brought us up in the land of Egypt, and when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aharon made proclamation and said, a festival to Yahweh tomorrow. So here's the brilliance of our Satan. Satan cannot just say, the Bible's wrong, leave. No, nobody's going to buy that. You know, that's not a threat. Nobody's going to buy that. But what I'm going to do is, I have Yahweh, and I'm going to make another god. Okay, you still got Yahweh there? Yeah. Because I've got here a festival to Yahweh, and I got a golden calf too. So now I just brought two things together, and people go, okay, we'll do that. And that's today in our church. Now we go into doctrinal deceptions, 2 Corinthians 11. So we're looking at how he works. You know, questioning Yahweh's word was the first one. Pleasing the masses is number two. New doctrines, 2 Corinthians 11. New doctrines, deceptions. Now, so we must ask ourselves, do you believe the lies of Satan? Well, no. Well, I did. I was raised with those lies. I was raised as a Catholic. I was raised with praying to Mary. I was raised with hell, purgatory, limbo. So I was raised with those particular things. And so by getting this, reading this book, you find out not there. Okay, 11, 3 and 4. By fear, lest by any means, as a serpent completely deceived Eve. And so you have to say, are you deceived? And everybody would say, no. But you have to say, if I can show you from this word that you are deceived, will you believe it? And you should be able to say yes. And thank you for showing me. Because we all want our eyes to be open. If I'm deceived, show me where I'm deceived. As the serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness. Remember, this is to the church of Corinth. Your church is in whatever city you're in. Your mind should be corrupted from the singleness and the chasteness which are due unto the Christ. For if indeed he that cometh is proclaiming another Jesus, which we've got that because that other Jesus is called what today?
God the Son.
God the Son. Is God the Son ever in these scriptures? Mm-hmm. Never in these scriptures. Here is not only God the Son, and we're going to see, he is God Almighty. And we're going to see at Christmas time, when we just came through Christmas, one of the news channels said, and this is just a regular non-Christian organization that said, Christians on Christmas celebrate the incarnation of God. And that's what every church says. That is a doctrine of demons. That is satanic. That is Satan in your church, whom we have not proclaimed yet. Or a different spirit are you receiving, which you have not received. How about God the Holy Spirit? There it is. Or a different glad message, which we have not welcomed. When you die, that's good. Because you get to be with Jesus. Now everybody's going to stop and try not to die, and they're actually trying to stay away from Jesus as long as they can. But they say if you die, you just go straight to Jesus. That's a different option. For you have never welcomed, you are all well-bearing. So we have plenty of lies that are just part of the church. How about false apostles? We know leaders, ministers of righteousness. We need... And just to show you, in the synagogue in Jerusalem, the high priest is the highest of all the people. They came from the lineage of Aaron. Who crucified Christ? The high priest. How much more does Satan abide in that organization than seeing that right there? They killed the Messiah. And then in John 8:44, we don't have to go there, but he says, you are of your father the devil. And the lies he's saying, he's to the Pharisees. You are of your father the devil. How about 1 Kings 12:26? We're going to go there. 1 Kings 12:26. And so Yahweh has given us, here's just an example too. You know, we are taught in our public schools of evolution, that the earth, the Big Bang Theory, things like that. You know, once you go ahead and look at the book and you use your reason and find out, that's just a bunch of lies. And even though we got it, we turned away from it. Let's say 12, verse 26. And Jeroboam is a king that Yahweh had anointed. So Yahweh anointed this particular man, and we're going to find out what this man is going to do. So if you say, my past was not corrupted, okay. Neither was, we're going to see Solomon corrupted, Aaron was corrupted, you know, Jeroboam. And Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went forth from this and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. And why is this? This is the 10 tribes who were, you know, about separated from the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. But we know Yahweh said, through Moses, every male has to come to Jerusalem, to the temple, 3 times a year. So it's not an option. You have to come here 3 times a year. And so Jeroboam knows that. He's saying, okay, if people go back to Jerusalem on the feast days, then they're going to turn against me. So he knows this. So he's going to try to solve. He didn't believe Yahweh. Yahweh said, you know, if you do what I say, instead of that, you know, you could be like the house of David. And back in the end of 26, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, then will the heart of this people return unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will slay me and return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Okay, we got a problem. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. Here we go again. And said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Lo, thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Here we go. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan, and this same became a sin, and the people went before the one as far as Dan, and he made a house of high places, and made priests from the whole compass of the people, who were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam made a, you know, so Yahweh has, you know, on Succoth, or the festival of booths, is the 7th month from the 15th 7-day feast festival. And now what Jeroboam's going to do about that? Because that was a good time. Because you did nothing but rejoice. Mm-hmm. So he's going to replace that feast day right here in 32. And Jeroboam made a festival in the 8th month, not the 7th. So he's going to skip it. You can't do the 7th because that's going to bring attention. On the 8th month, on the what? 15th day of the month. Here's the counterfeit. Like the festival which was held in Judah and offered up on the altar or otherwise... He did in Bethel, sacrifice to the calves which he had made, and he kept in attendance of Bethel, the priest, the high place which he had made, and it goes on and on. That is just an example of false apostles, leaders. Let me see here. Yeah, and he was anointed, and that was in 1 Kings 11:31. We don't have to go there. Now, so we look at the church leaders, usually fall into one of 3 categories. So your pastor falls in 1 of 3 categories. You are either a child of the devil, and I believe probably the Pope is, the Catholic Pope is. And why? Because they've just accepted sodomy into Catholicism. I mean, they're not saying it's okay, but if you got 2 homosexuals, you're going to bless their union. You know. So that's one. You're a child of the devil. And we saw the high priest was like that. You know, you crucify the Messiah. Second one, they're deceived or ignorant.
The what?
They are deceived. The pastor is deceived or ignorant, like I have been. All right, we've been deceived. But from birth, we've been deceived. Or ignorant. But instruction, if that's the case, correcting them, giving the evidence that they need, they will change. Right? Okay, the third one is they're compromised. And the compromise is they're hirelings. They're making a living off this profession. And the bigger the profession gets, the more money they make. And so they get into a place where maybe they didn't start that way. You know, and I think King Solomon was like that. He started very, very humble,
yeah.
Understanding. You know, and he probably for 35 years, and then he went off on making gods and everything else. But instruction will not change them. And so, did Yahweh send prophets to Solomon?
Yes
he did, to correct him. Yes, Yahweh's always going to try to contact us and turn. Did Solomon turn? As far as we know, no, he didn't turn. Actually, the ones who corrected him, he chased them off.
I just like he turned into Saul, trying to kill the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see the compromise, how that works, 1 Timothy 6.
Would you repeat that?
1 Timothy chapter 6. Because we find out from the book of Timothy, as we can see too, that being a pastor can be very financially profitable. You can make a very nice living by being a pastor. And actually, we have firsthand experiences with, you know, friends of ours who knew the Word of Yahweh like we did. Their son was raised that way, and he went into the military and ended up becoming a pastor.
Chaplain.
Yeah, chaplain. And so he became a Lutheran chaplain, which obviously... Everything that you've done now is contrary to this. And he knows better. But he ended up becoming a Lutheran chaplain. Okay, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. But they who are determined to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful covetings, the which sink men into ruin and destruction. For root of all the vices is the love of money, which some have been eager for, have been seduced from the faith. That's how they're seduced. You compromise the teaching because you're going to get money if you do. And have pierced themselves about with many pains. Let's see here. So we find out the ones who were deceived, you know, we know Josiah, the king Josiah, which we'll see after a while, was deceived because they didn't have the word. Yeah. He became king at age 8.
Yeah.
And so what everybody taught him, that's what you teach. We know Paul, Saul, was deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at the feet of Gamaliel, you know, and was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. Was he deceived? Yes. Could he be corrected? Yes. Josiah, could he be corrected? Yes. How about Martin Luther? Was he deceived? Yes. And when he saw the scriptures, was he correctable? Yes.
The 3,000 on Pentecost too. They were deceived. Peter said, "You crucified and repent," and they repented.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
What must we do?
That's right. So they were deceived. And V.P. Wirral, who started the Way of Ministry, he was raised like a regular minister who was a Trinitarian, and he went through the whole thing, the whole school, until you find out, you start going through this. And to handle the truth is not popular. And we're going to see that with Apostle Paul. Who knows the truth better than anybody? Yep. Apostle Paul. And Moses, probably the Apostle Paul. They wrote the books. They got the revelation. We're going to find out he got dumped, right? The Apostle Paul got dumped by his church because he spoke the truth. And so, you know, it's the exception. So if you're trying to become successful by teaching the word, you're going to have to compromise, you know, and teach doctrines of demons that the people want.
Reminds me of John Lynn being thrown out of his own ministry, too. John Lynn was thrown out of
spirit. Yeah, but that's kind of a different situation. Now, we're going to look at how this happens is a co-mingling. So Satan uses ways to co-mingle and water down things. I thought a good illustration I saw on one lady who was married, and and her husband was sick, and so she was giving him like chicken soup with antifreeze in it. So if you think about it, antifreeze is very sweet, and it's like kind of like lemon. But it's a poison. So you put a little bit of antifreeze in the soup, and you're never going to do it. And guess what? He died, and she did for his life insurance. So think of what Satan wants for us is he's going to commingle things, and you're going to have 95% orange juice, 5% antifreeze. And you're not going to know the difference. But over time, it's going to have an effect upon you.
Get our life insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, for the she did that twice.
No, but that's the same.
$5,000 policy. Killed this guy, and you're on the bed feeding him the soup.
Why then?
That's like Jezebel. I mean, you're like, holy, what kind of individuals are these? And they're demonized, obviously. They're demonized. So, what we look at, the illustration was Christmas. And we did the one about the incarnation. Christmas has... And first, everything's wrong about Christmas, but, Christ was born. He was born. But there's a story, and there's a great song that's very lovely. It's called Mary, Did You Know? And so 95% of the song is going to be correct, and 5% is from Satan. And they'll say, Mary, did you know your baby boy would rule the nations? And it goes on and on. Just a great song. And all of a sudden, Mary, did you know when you kiss the baby, you kiss the face of God? That's demon. That's Satan. You say the baby Jesus was God. And then that he's the great I am. And so you're looking, and that is Protestantism. That is Catholicism. That is a doctrine of demons. That's satanic. Satan right in your church. And when you start thinking even logically, we got senses. Well, wait a minute. If that was Yahweh, so did Yahweh have poopy diapers? Well, of course. So then Mary was changing the diapers of Yahweh. Did Yahweh breastfeed? Well, yeah. So Mary breastfed the Creator and changed the Creator's poopy diapers. Can you imagine? I mean, let's just discuss this. What you're inculcating. But it's a co-mingling. 95%, he is the Savior. He was born. He did redeem mankind. But now we're going to make him a God.
All right. Yahweh.
Yeah, we're going to make him Yahweh. We're not going to call him Yahweh.
No,
we're going to make him Yahweh. Another one was Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So there's a big Christian song. And that's true. Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The fullness of the whole earth is your glory. That's Isaiah 6:3. And so they're making a song off this, but then they say, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Now, did Paul ever mention God in three persons?
No.
Did Paul ever mention, or Moses, blessed Trinity? None of that stuff. So there's, here is Isaiah 6:3. What they call bastardized, where all of a sudden, now I put the antifreeze in here, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, that is Satan, in the church, singing a song. Which, if you're in the United States, or probably in Europe too, you would know that. And the other one is so brilliant, is a woman caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. John 7, I think 52-8:11, and every person we've known there for 200 years, that is not part of John that was added. But when you think about it, it's so evil because Yahushua came to fulfill the law of Moses, right? He says that. I come not to destroy the law, but fulfill the law of Moses. So, according to this story, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What did the law of Moses say to do?
Stone her.
That was it. That would fulfill the law of Moses if you stoned her. But then Satan, by putting this scripture in here, said, let him without sin cast the first stone. That's a lie from our adversary. And everybody loves that. Yeah, so be mindful. But look how this is designed. Now, instead of a woman, let's have a man who raped a baby girl. And so they bring a man out.
A pedophile.
And bring a man out and said, we caught him in the very act raping this very girl. And he murdered her. But let him, without saying, cast the first stone. Would anybody believe that?
No.
No, they would be incensed by that. So it had to be a woman in this particular case. And they got her at her feet and she's praying for her life. So demonic. I mean, the scripture is demonic and it's in everybody's Bible, not the Rotherham. Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that amazing? And you're like, bravo, Satan. Bravo. And if you take it out, people don't buy the Bible. But instead of a pastor teaching this, they don't. You know, I even reproved a pastor. I showed him it's not in the text. And the next week, he taught the whole scene in the church. Right here in Wichita, Kansas.
In your faith.
Yeah. So we know the great commandment is, I am Yahweh thy God. Thou hath no other gods besides me. Or hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one. How much more simpler can this get? And so the Catholic and the Protestant church go with the seven commandments and break three of the most important commandment there is, because we've erased Yahweh. And so we're going to find out that about translations, how important translations are, because without the translations doing that, we wouldn't have a problem. But the translators have intentionally removed Yahweh with intent. Move Yahweh from their Bibles. Okay, so now we're going to look at. It just couldn't have. My church doesn't have satanic teachings in it, and that's why, because you don't know this book. Mm-hmm. I could go to your church, and I could look at their statement of beliefs, and I identify immediately their statement of beliefs. And if you go to your church, the first statement will be, we believe in the inspired Word of God. That's the first statement. Everybody's with us. Inspired Word of God. Second one, we believe in God, three persons and one God. God, you know, they won't say God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. Most of them won't. But they'll say, but that's the Trinity, which obviously is not in this book. So there's your second statement of belief is a lie according to this book. And we're going to see, you shall not add to this book. And you should not take away from this book. Well, that is adding to the book. Your second statement of beliefs. But we're going to look at, it does happen. It happened to the Apostle Paul. So let's go to Acts 19, verse 10. But he lived at a different time. You're like, my goodness. You know, people are healed from his shadow and all sorts of stuff. Was that Peter or Paul?
That's Peter.
Peter, but you know, I mean, you're talking about a demonstration of power that was unforeseen.
What did you say, 19 verse 10,
and we're going to say this is great. And this took place for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of Yahweh, both Jews and Greeks. Wow. So through Paul, Asia, and that is the church of Ephesus, the church of
Corinth.
Thessalonians, and Colossians, and Philippians are on Europe's side. Corinth is part of Greece.
Okay.
All right. But you're looking at the book of Ephesians, you know, Colossians. That's Asia. Now we go to 2 Timothy 1:15. In his lifetime, thou knowest this, to Timothy, that all they who are in Asia have turned away from me. Wow. So here all of Asia had heard the word of Yahweh, and in his lifetime, all of Asia has turned away from him. And we think, well, that, you know, that my pastor, is your pastor better than the Apostle Paul? So just think about this. In Galatians 1:6 now, we're going to see what happens when you speak the truth. And here's, oh yeah, Galatia is in, it's in Asia. So the Galatians is in Asia, Colossians is in Asia, Ephesians is in Asia, Ephesus. So all of these books turn from the Apostle Paul in his lifetime, not after 100 years later, in his lifetime. I marvel that thus quickly you are moving away from him that called you in the favor of Christ. Hey, you're going to lose people by saying this.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose your church by reproving them. And to a different glad message. Oh, there it is. Remember we said that? He said that in 2 Corinthians 11. A different glad message. A new Jesus. A new spirit. A different glad message. Which is not another. Only there are some that are troubling you and wishing to change the glad message of the Christ. The Trinity is exactly that. There is no evidence, any evidence of three persons and one God. There's no evidence of incarnation. These words don't exist in this book. And on the contrary, it's so contrary, because did Jesus have a God?
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 different places. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if Jesus has a God and he is God, you got two gods right off the bat. Not disputable.
Finish reading 8.
Yeah, we're going to keep going. And 8. And even if we are a messenger out of heaven announcing the glad message, aside from which we have announced unto you, that's this book, in the Hebrew and Greek, a curse let him be. That's it. So when your pastor is teaching on the Trinity, he is accursed. And, or on the incarnation, accursed. And actually, that's a doctrine of Satan, is what you're teaching. As we have said before, and even now, I say, if anyone is announcing unto you a glad message aside from which you are accepted, accursed let him be. Wow. Okay, this is an Apostle Paul lifetime. Now we go to 2, verse 11. Who else was deceived? Peter! The Apostle Peter, the right-hand man of Yahushua, is deceived. Or is being compromised. He's not deceived, he's been compromised. 2:11. But when Cephas, that's Peter, came unto Antioch, to the face even him I resisted, because he stood what?
Yeah.
Condemned. For before that certain came from James with them of the nations used to eat, those are the non-circumcised individuals, whereas when they came he used to withdraw and keep himself separate, fearing them of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also used hypocrisy with him, so that even Barnabas, Paul's traveling companion, was carried away by their hypocrisy. So look how easy this can happen in Paul's lifetime, in Peter's lifetime, in Barnabas' lifetime. The power that Satan does to make you compromise in order, in your mind, well, because more people will get blessed. I'm going to rationalize it away. 14, and when they saw that we were not walking with the straightforwardness as regarding the truth of the glad message, I said unto Cephas before all, if thou, although a Jew like them of the nations and not like the Jews, dost live, how dost thou compel them of the nations to live like Jews? Yahweh had Paul write this about Peter and Barnabas. So don't think you're insulated. My pastor's insulated from this particular situation. Now let's look at 3:1. Remember the book of Galatians. Let's look at 1:11. I marvel that thou quickly you are moved away from him that called you into a different message. 3:1. O thoughtless Galatians, who has bewitched you? There's second confirmation. And then we go to 5:7. 5:7. You were running well. Who hath hindered you that by truth you are not to be persuaded? Look at that. By truth, you are not to be persuaded.
The scriptures are not to be persuaded.
Yeah, the scriptures do not persuade you. And so this is what we're doing right now. Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is his name. And it's not in your church.
Huh?
And it's there for a purpose, because it really causes problem with the Trinity. All right? Because Jesus is our God. And we're going to say Jesus is our God. And we can't get Yahweh in there. We can see with Moses. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. In Moses' lifetime, What were people doing? 31:15. And Yahweh appeared in, and let's see here. Let me see here. 31:15. Am I the right one?
2:31.
Yeah.
Yahweh appeared in the tent.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that day. Oh, yeah.
16.
Yahweh is telling. Yeah, I forgot. Yahweh is telling Moses what's about ready to happen. In 15, and Yahweh appeared in the tent in the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the entrance of the tent. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, lo, thou art about to sleep with thy fathers, and this people, look at this, will rise up and go away unchastely after the gods of the foreigners. Why do you think your church is exempt from this kind of behavior?
Yeah.
The people in their church is exempt from this kind of behavior? Of the land which in the midst of whom they are entering and will forsake me and break my covenant which I solemnized with them. These guys have been in the wilderness for 40 years. Direct, you know, here's the cloud. Here's the flame.
Manna.
Quail.
Moses.
Everything that you've got. Nobody's dying. Their clothes aren't wearing out. Your clothes aren't. I mean, how you lived your life for 40 years has been a miracle. Every day you woke up, it's a miracle. There's no water out here. You hit the rocks and water comes out. Miracle, miracle, miracle. You will never be deceived. Right? No. Right off the bat. 17. Then will my anger kindle upon them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be consumed in many calamities and misfortunes to find them out. And they will say in that day, is it not because my God is not in my midst that these calamities have found out from me? I look at verse 26 and 27. Moses is saying to them, take this scroll of the law and put it at the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, your God, and it shall be there in thy midst as a witness. This book is a witness against your church, against all churches. This book. If you deviate from this book, if you add to it or take away from it, you are cursed, accursed. And watch what happens. 27, for I know thy perverseness and thy stiff necks low. Why I am yet alive with you today? You are quarreling with Yahweh, and how much more after my death? Did Moses experience what Paul experienced? Yeah, absolutely. How about, we know with Solomon, we don't have to go there, but Solomon, did he make his reign? No. So that's 1 Kings 11, 1 through 6, and his foreign wives corrupted him. And he ended up going down in a flame of fire from Yahweh. Josiah, so here's just an example. We don't have to go there, but so Solomon built temples for gods for his wives. Now we're going to look at 2 Kings 23, 13. When he did that, it was 1 Kings 11, 1 through 6. We're trying to cut this shorter. Let's go to 2 Kings 23:13. This is King Josiah. 350 years later, the United States is not even 250 years old. This is 350 years later, what we're going to demonstrate here, 23 verse 13. So Josiah, we're going to go there. He finds out the word of Yahweh, reads the word of Yahweh, rinses his garment and say, what the hell? Because it was like having gods in your houses, you know. And we've got, 13. And the high place of which before Jerusalem and were at the right hand of the Mount of Destruction, which Solomon, king of Israel, had built. So he's destroying these. Now, wait a minute here. After Solomon, we had good kings. We had Asa. We had Jehoshaphat. We had Hezekiah. Great kings who cleaned house. But these things are still up. Mm-hmm. Or got put back up. But that's 350 years later. It's talking about verse 13, and the high places which were before Jerusalem, they were before Jerusalem, and were on the right hand of the Mount of Decoration which Solomon, king of Israel, built unto Asherah, the abomination of the Zirconians, and to Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and to Macom, the disgusting things of the sons of Ammon, to the king defile, and he breaking the peace of the pillars and cut down the sacred stems. So it happened right there. Jeroboam, we're going to see what we saw about him. You know, that he made the two gods. That's 1 Kings 12, 26 to 33. And Nehemiah, they're rebuilding Jerusalem. Let's just go to Nehemiah 13.
Can you tell me what page that is?
Okay. 13, 26, 492, 15 through 18. It took approximately 50 years to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the temple. You know, 70 years, we know that they're going to be gone. All the people who are doing it are working hard. And you're trying to come back because you abandoned Yahweh is why you were taken away by King Nebuchadnezzar. You got generations who are abandoned. Now, 15 and 18, so they rebuilt things. This is the end of Nehemiah. Okay, so Nehemiah is going back and forth from really
Persia.
From Persia, Susa, back. And you're talking about these are month journeys, multiple times. And he comes back, and look at this in 15. In those days, saw a Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath. Is that breaking a commandment?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the fourth commandment. And bringing in sheaves and laying asses, moreover, also wine, grapes, and figs, and every kind of burden which they were bringing into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I protested against it as a day for them to sell provisions. And men of Tyre dwelt there, and who were bringing in fish and every kind of ware for sale, and were selling on the Sabbath as the sons of Judah and Jerusalem. So I contend with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what is this wicked thing you are doing in profaning the Sabbath day? So here it is right in front of my face after all this. This is happening in your church. In essence, what this is happening on this in your church. The same with these doctrines that are in your church. That we know the only way we can find out where we are, we hope anybody who's listening, anybody who is compromised is not going to listen. They're going to turn it off right off. And if you're a child of the devil, you're going to turn it off right off the bat too. So I'm assuming we're talking to people who are, with all of us, who have been deceived. Tell me the truth and I will turn. Tell me the truth and I will turn. That's all I need to do. And that is searching the scriptures, whether those things are so. Searching the scriptures. We don't have to go there, but that's Acts 17:11. Let's go back to 2 Kings. We're going to see Josiah. This is so important, so tender. 2 Kings 22. Because it should be, this is what I was raised a Catholic. And in the Catholic, they have what they call the 14 stations of the cross. And so in every church, there's a place where Christ is carrying his cross and he falls down, they wipe his face, and he does this, and he does this, and he does this. And then Simon comes in, and you got this whole testimony. And so I never read the Bible in the Catholic Church. Nobody does. And so when I start reading the Bible, I'm looking for the 14 stations of the cross. And I can't find them. He just made it up. No different than the Trinity. He just made it up. We're going to search the scripture. No, there's no Trinity in this book. There is no God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. You know, there is no incarnation. And even when you go with that, if God was incarnated, you know, becoming flesh, then he was excarnated because he was crucified. But really, in a situation, he wasn't crucified. He didn't die because Jesus would have been in heaven, right? So Jesus didn't die on the cross. His body died on the cross because he excarnated. He left the flesh.
Went to hell.
And then he gets reincarnated because he comes back into his body after being resurrected, right? That's called reincarnation, re-becoming flesh. So the Christian church teaches reincarnation. They're never going to say that. Oh, blasphemy. No different than this. The Catholic believe in Mary's the mother of God, right? Right?
Yeah.
And Protestants will say, no, she's not. Oh, wait a minute. If she is God, yes. Is Mary his mother? Yes.
Am I the brother of God?
Yeah. Am I the brother of God? Yes. No other way around it. You can't get around it. Well, we're not going to say that. And just shut up, get out of here. Because it just starts crumbling a house of cards. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. But it's Satan. It's Satan is doing the whole thing. Second Kings 22. But you're seeing, I was trying to do this as an example with all of us. It should be, what have I been doing? And then if you've been teaching it, you've got to be able to rip your garments. 22:11. They find the word, the Torah, the Tanakh. And it came to pass when the king heard the words. Let's just go in 10. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "A book hath Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Because why? We're breaking all of them. And when Deuteronomy it says in 27, "Cursed, cursed, cursed." Curse when you eat, curse when you go in, curse when you go out. I mean, you got books of, chapters of cursing. You're blessed, small portion. The rest of it's all cursed. You go in, curse when you go in, curse when you go out. That's us. And he rips his garment. What a great guy. If you look at 23, verse 1 through 3, then the king sent, and they were gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. So just don't talk the talk, walk the walk. And the king went up to the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of Yahweh. And the king took his stand by the pillar, and solemnized a covenant before Yahweh. That should be it. We should all solemnize a covenant for Yahweh. To follow Yahweh, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to confirm the words of this covenant written in this book. And all the people took their stand in the covenant. And that's a covenant. It's like getting married. You got married. I'm going to obey this book. So the Bible translations have just been corrupted. Some far worse than others, as we just illustrated. One other thing before we finish is what your church does not teach. So you got two things: what your church teaches, and then what your church does not teach. And so there's what they call a sin of omission. A sin of omission is what I'm supposed to do, I don't tell anybody else, and so I'm going to omit it. And the sin of omissions is, does Yahweh want everybody to prophesy?
Yes,
he does. We got a whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. Speak in tongues, prophesy in the church. They're not going to teach that. Nobody's going to say that. That's 1 Corinthians 14. Sheol is death. They're not going to teach Sheol is death and the resurrection. They're not going to say Yahweh. They're not going to say Yahushua. They're not going to say Yahweh is our creator, one God and one media. They're not going to, they can't do 1 Timothy 2:5. For there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Yahushua. Real simple. Mm-hmm. That completely contradicts their teachings. Here's the scripture, completely contradicts it. They're not going to teach the new earth, because when they die, people go to heaven. Mm-hmm. So Billy Graham's in heaven. They're not going to teach that man is a vapor. They're going to say his body is a vapor. Hebrew, or Ibri, that's the actual pronunciation. It's not Hebrew, it's actually Ibri. It's not Greek, it's actually Hellenic. So that's what they're called, Hellens. It's a foundation, and not Greek. The Hebrew is, it's not born again, it's born from above. And any documentation in John 3 will clarify that. What they will teach, incarnation, and we should ask everything, chapter and verse. These are doctrines of demons. These are Satan's teachings in the church. Incarnation, first became the 14th century, which is interesting. The carnation is, I thought it was Greek. No, it's Latin. So even that, you know, the foundation is Hebrew and Greek, but this is even Latin. Dying is good. They're going to teach that because, and I heard one place, when you really get healed is when you die. Because when you die, you go to heaven, and you're all healed.
That's Baptist.
So death, yeah,
seminary.
So, yeah, it was just like, wow. Your spirit and soul pass into heaven. The word hell, is it in your Bible? It should never be. There is no Hebrew or Greek word for hell. There's Sheol, and there's the Valley of Hinnom. Three persons and one God. 100% God, 100% man, the God-man. Going to heaven upon death. Man is not a vapor, because he goes on. Unconditional love. What does unconditional mean? Love, it means that everybody's going to get everything equally, regardless of what you do. That's what it really comes down to. Unconditional love is unconditional giving. Can you have the word love without giving? No. It's, you know, there's no such thing as unconditional love. Yahweh became a baby, has, you know, and then they got born again. It's not born again, it's born from above. So, we'll kind of end there. All right, well, hear from our Heavenly Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14, and as I recommend to all of you, if you don't know how to speak in tongues and interpret, we have courses on that, we have writings on it, we got videos on it. Yahweh wants the body of Christ to be built up. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:39, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. So, we're going to prophesy. Father, we thank you for these words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Be bold and courageous, for I have imparted with you special knowledge and abilities and graces that are well-pleasing to me and to the people around you. I'll put you in positions where you can be administering to people the truth, systematically delivering them from the power of Satan. Amen.